It was just time to go. And
I think somewhere on a lake someday will be fun.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. So you get it.
A little bit of serenity.
You get it.
Now.
You get it.
Yeah.
Well, we can discuss a little, but it's okay. I mean.
Okay.
I'm in Austin.
Everything's a secret with you, so.
Exactly. I'm in Austin, Texas with Matt Musty.
Yes.
Matt Musty.
I'm so happy to be here with you.
Good
to see you. In Austin, Texas, my friend.
This is wild, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
All right, so we got a lot to cover here, so let's just kind of jump around. Now, you are on the road with Train.
I'm on the road with Train, playing the drums.
This is the thing now. No, but this has been a while.
Yeah, I've had this gig for 3+ years, 3.5 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That time has flown like that.
Yeah, and two of which were in the pandemic, so we were...
Oh, yeah. Oh.
In one way, I've been on the road with Train for 1.5 years, and in another way, those 2 years were more of like a collaborative, intense working situation than ever, because we wrote and recorded an entire album in that time.
Wait a minute. Did you get in this pre-pandemic?
Was that about? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well, yeah, I was on tour with them on the Goo Goo Dolls tour. Alan Stone and the Goo Goo Dolls all summer.
With Craig Mack.
With Craig Mack.
Right.
I loved learning from on that tour.
Right.
He's one of those guys who just plays with that like 10 years older maturity that you can, a guy like me can really learn from. Yeah. I'm no spring chicken, but I'm not as seasoned as a guy like him who plays just wisely and musically at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. And some of my stuff gets to be just emotion based and reactive, and that's great, but to have it harnessed into specific moments like Craig does and like so many other guys do. Victor is one of those guys.
Right.
Mario is one of those guys.
Right.
I mean, that's another level, I think, and I'll get there.
You mean you're talking about that consistency and that kind of just...
Yeah, and your moments to explode are planned, you know, planned and controlled, whereas sometimes mine, I just can't help it. I just go with what I'm feeling, and it's totally emotion based.
Right, but you also have that leeway.
Yeah, in Train I do.
That's what I mean. Like, they're not saying like, "Hey, man."
No, there's maybe been a couple times where something's happened, but it's never been a like subjective artistic move that I like took a liberty with, because I think, you know, if you didn't do the Drops of Jupiter drum fill, that's ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba-da then explore some of the other moments in that song.
You can put your thumbprint on this.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's different, and it's... And it is different than, like, coming from Grace Potter, where the whole show was an exploration, really.
Right.
And so Train is a very scripted kind of gig, especially at this moment in tour. We're 3/4 of the way through a 40-show tour. So we're dialed in, and everything is... If something is 1.5 seconds longer transitionally from song to song, everyone's like, well, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, because they just know it's supposed to be quick and in step. And guitars are getting switched. I'm switching some snare drums from time to time, and things are dialed in. So if there's those 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi seconds where the band feels it, you're like, that was a weird show because you were off. Whereas the Grace world was such a, okay, let's go on this tangent for 7 minutes.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So it's really fun. Both worlds are really fun, and I think there's things to be learned from both.
Yeah. Okay, hold on. Let's back up though. So how does this gig even come to be for you?
Oh, a wonderful bass player friend of mine and producer and writer and musician, Shaben Bhattacharya. He played with Matt Nathanson for a long time, and now he's in town in LA producing, writing, and doing all that. Jerry, the Train MD, Jerry Becker, hit him up and was like, hey, we're thinking about doing LA auditions. We lost our drummer. We're looking for an LA audition group and then a Nashville audition group.
Why? Where are they based out of?
All over the place. I mean, they're considered a San Francisco band, but Pat, the singer's in Seattle. Jerry's in Berkeley. Hector's in Nashville.
Okay.
Yeah, everyone's spread out. But yeah, I just auditioned after Chabin put my name in the hat. I think Jerry was asking for, like, who, you know, give me the usual suspects, but who's like an out-of-the-box kind of character who might be perfect or might suck. And I think that's where my that's the group where my name comes in. Could be 50-50. Could be great. Could be terrible.
Right.
Yeah.
Why, did you know names? Did you hear other names that went out for this?
I did.
You did.
But
you're not going to say them. I know.
Probably shouldn't.
I know you're not. I know.
Yeah. But
you did hear names.
It was good company, for sure.
And were you, was it like, uh-oh?
Was it, yeah, like, I was more or less like, because I've done auditions. Like one audition, I auditioned for the band Cake years ago.
Right.
And I figured this would be a similar situation where it's like, I learned the songs. It's such a thrill to get in the room and play these songs and say that I did it with those guys. And, you know, the Cake one didn't work out, but the Train one did. And it's been great ever since.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so, okay, so hold on. So can we talk about why that guy left? I don't know his name.
Oh, Drew?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's no big deal at all. I think he left. He was a practicing lawyer before.
What?
Yes, before joining Train. He joined like Pat's solo record. And then when the band came back together, he toured with them for 5 years, I think it was. And then he probably wanted to be home more because we're on the road a little bit. And but I think he just went back to law. And now he's, you know, he's a high-powered lawyer. He's in Seattle.
He's a fucking lawyer.
He's a lawyer. He's a lawyer. And he's a good dude. He's a great player.
Wait, have you met him?
Yeah. Yeah, we knew each other before, actually, a little bit.
Oh.
Yeah, Drew Scholes.
Monster. How did you know him?
I don't know, just from drumming world. I don't know. We ended up in New York, and I took him to coffee. And
okay.
He was in New York before. I don't know. Our paths just crossed several times.
Oh, interesting. So,
yeah.
So wait, did you call him?
He wasn't the original guy. I have never met the original guy.
Okay.
Who's also a great drummer.
Okay.
But we don't know each other.
But Drew played on the big hit, right? Like, that's him or no?
No, that's probably Scott, the original guy.
Oh, wait. Yeah. I'm way confused then.
I'm thinking, the third. I'm number three.
Is he the blonde guy or no?
Yeah, Scott is the blonde. The guy I don't know. Drew was a black guy, tall, glasses.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. So I am thinking of the blonde guy. Mm-hmm. See, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, it's all getting very confusing. And everyone knows, listen, like when Dave just has his Larry King moments.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's like, so you were in Brooklyn. They canceled you, right, Jerry Seinfeld? You know.
All right. Do you not know this?
Exactly. Did you research?
I bailed on my show. We were number one. Do you know who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn, right?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
But, okay, so do you call Drew, like, before the audition? Do you call him and have a chat and say, hey?
I don't think I called Drew until I got the gig.
Okay.
Then it was like, okay, what the hell are you doing here? What's this moment? And he was so nice to, like, take me through these different little switches and the electronics and introduce me to Captain, who's drum tech, and just kind of take me through the whole gig. Who I talked to a lot pre-audition and post-audition was Jerry Becker, the MD of the whole thing. And he's just such a good head for this kind of stuff. And he knew that, like, not only do you want, like, a guy who can hit hard, but you kind of want a Ringo guy, too, in some moments. And then, I don't know, I think part of it, again, was just, like, showing up and being funny and having some sort of rapport right away and being likable and not being a dick.
Right. The old classics, yeah.
But yeah, you had to be able to play the tunes too.
So how many songs did you have to prepare? Do you remember?
I think I did 5 or 6.
Okay. Well,
two of which were Zeppelin songs. Like,
oh yeah?
The audition is so funny, especially for a drummer. They just want someone who can do everything.
What were the Zeppelin tunes?
Live and Love and Made, or no, Heartbreaker into Live and Love and Made, which they'll do from time to time on stage. Which is fun, you know?
So just to make sure you could do Bonzo. And
yeah. Which I can't, but I fooled them.
Right.
No one can.
No, I guess, I mean, Jason gets close.
Yeah.
We'll give him that.
Yeah.
But, okay, so was it just the one thing? Was it just the one day, or was there a callback? Like, how did...
No, it was just the one day, and then Jerry had, like, a long talk with me and was, like, feeling me out, I could tell. Because they were thinking about going to Nashville, and they didn't end up going to Nashville.
What do you mean, like, band?
No, they were thinking about doing Nashville auditions.
Oh, I see.
as far as I know, that's how the story went. They had LA auditions booked and Nashville auditions booked, and they never got to Nashville.
So what was the conversations like? Was it kind of
what kind of jokes do you know? How many SNL years are you familiar with? No, I don't.
Hey, these are actually good questions.
I mean,
that's fair.
It was he. I could tell he was just scoping me out to see if he could deal with me on the road. Yeah, and
right,
we get along great. Actually, I work with Jerry every single day on or off tour, and it's been a wonderful friendship. Actually,
right,
to know him and the rest of the guys, but Jerry is the guy who keeps everything glued. Because there's seven people on stage. There's two background singers, Nikita and Sakai, and the five, and Pat, and then the four core band. There's a lot of different ways that can go. There's a lot of cooks in the kitchen at any moment, and Jerry's just a good, like, streamlined guy who keeps the thing going. He knows what Pat wants, and he translates that to us, and vice versa. And it really just works great with Jerry in charge.
An MD that, again, yeah, so you're not really hearing it from Pat, usually directly?
A lot of times we are.
Yeah.
But really, there's a good just translation that happens there, where okay. Pat usually, most times, will just tell Jerry, and then he'll rehearse the band.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
But Pat's there on hand a lot, cares okay. about every moment of the show.
Well, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Yeah.
He really takes care of his audience, which is not a thing everyone does.
Explain.
I heard this the other day, which is a really funny way to put it, not about us, but it was a guy saying that some artists are so artsy and so brilliant and so in their own world that they make the audience come to them. And with Pat, every moment of the show is about what's happening out there. And so he just cares and takes care of it, you know? And he comes to them and it's free. It's free love. It's like, okay, here's us. Here's what's going to happen in this, especially in a concert kind of way. Here's this confetti blast during this song. Here's pyro during this song. Here's me taking a selfie with... There's a song where people throw their cameras up on stage, catches them. He's a really athletic dude. He catches them, takes a selfie with them, and throws it back. Gets the next camera. There's so many...
How the hell would you even know where to throw it back to? I'm more impressed with that.
I don't know. I mean, they just come out of it. And sometimes the fog machine is up, too, and you just see a flying phone coming through the air, and he's just like, I got it.
What?
He's just such a funny, entertaining guy.
Well, he was a big Stern guy, too, remember?
Yes. He's done Stern, like 30-something times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever talked to him about that?
A little bit.
Yeah?
I think he knows to a fault how much of a Stern fan I am. So he, doesn't want to overpromise and underdeliver if we don't get to do it, you know?
Right, right, right.
But, yeah, I kind of don't talk with him about it that much.
Okay.
When it comes up, I'm like taking notes on it. Like,
has he ever given you anything good? Anything like off the record stuff?
No. I mean, he just likes and admires the guy.
Okay.
And
I think
the feeling is mutual, and you can tell on the air.
He hasn't seen him without the wig or anything. It's like almost got a spit take from Matt Busty. Almost waited for him to sip the coffee.
God, the wig. No way.
Howard, at least dye gray.
Diet.
At least, diet. I was going to say, at least pretend and get a gray wig, right? Mm-hmm. At least pretend. All right, anyway.
That's number one gig, bucket list gig for me. I get on the Stern show.
I understand.
That's bigger than Madison Square Garden. Wrigley, I don't care.
That was, I think that's Stern how show. We met. This fact was like, with that kind of, yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was because we had common love for Howard.
Yeah,
that's right.
So you did the thing, the one audition,
mm-hmm.
then Jerry talks to you.
Jerry gets
and then does Jerry, is that a separate day, and then another day he calls you back and says congrats? Is it like that?
Yeah, I think it was kind of like that. He goes, it's yours if you want it, kind of conversation. And if you want it, here's what is required. Here's what the schedule looks like. It's an intense, full, devotion to this gig for a while.
Yeah, what was when that initial schedule, what did it look like?
It was 3 months of the summer with Goo Goo Dolls and Alan Stone and some pre-production, not much rehearsing ever, but just you got to be ready to go. They do a lot of private dates. They do a lot of this and that, you know, random fly dates. Summers are busy, and they usually don't do winter anything. So it's reasonable. It's really reasonable, but you have to be ready to drop and go because things right. come up fast.
Yeah. So then that, and you've seen that, that's happened where you've...
I've seen one, but luckily I was already in Seattle writing with Pat and Jerry. And it was like, we got a gig in Orlando tomorrow night. You guys get on a plane right now. And Pat's super funny. His day-to-day was calling him. And it's one of the funniest jokes I've ever seen him do. His day-to-day was calling him, and he answers. And it's this scrambling, stressed-out phone call. Pat answers and goes, hey, man, I only have like 2 seconds. And then hangs up the phone. Just as a joke, because Mean is funny, and it was really good, and we were in the room, just like we saw the joke closing in as he did it, and then he called him right back. He's like, "Stop fucking around, we got a gig, we gotta get you on a plane, we got a whole bunch of stuff to advance."
Shit.
So it was really, yeah, so those moments do happen, though, like on a last second, just like an offer came through. This one was Pitbull canceled, so obviously the next choice is Train.
Wow, that's an interesting, yeah. You guys got to go to world, boom, go.
And that's like, that's more of a testament to the crew than anyone else to advance a full production Train show in, I don't know, 30 hours?
Right.
Is absolutely insane.
Yeah, dude.
That's a miracle that they pulled that off.
I guess that's got to be well paid to pull that shit off.
I'd imagine.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. It's yours if you want it. That's went pretty smooth, man.
Yeah. No, 3 months at all these sheds. Like it was a mind blowing time for me. I'd never seen that level of anything before. I'd never had a drum tech before. It was crazy.
Now you can't still is crazy. Now you'll never. You're like.
Well, you know, early this tour, the drum tech got COVID, so I went back. I did the drum tech thing for a minute.
You had to.
I need you back, man.
You had to set yourself up.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, me and that, we joke about it. The co-drum techs, me, the tour manager, and the production manager worked it out. And I hardly did anything.
Right. Right.
We need you back, bro. Come back.
Yeah.
Hurry up.
Yeah. COVID. Yeah. Jesus Christ. All right, so it's been 3 years, though. That's crazy. Yeah.
3 years in May from my first gig.
So what's the longest chunk you've had off, let's say, from Train during that time?
Well, I mean, COVID.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
The
Of course.
From like last summer, we did 5 weeks, August to September, and then this summer we've got a full-on tour. So that was, you know, 8 months of like, you're flying twice a month to do private gigs, you know, but really you're home a lot during those that time. So it's really reasonable. As busy as it seems on the onset, it's more of like, be available and be home.
Right.
Then like, we're on all the time. You're never going to see your family. So you're going to be home a lot, but you got to be ready to go.
Right.
So your time, I drive management crazy with the like, okay, so am I going to be in the clear to do this record this week? And they're like, well, there's always the chance that you're not going to be, but I think you should be good.
Right.
So I have to tell artists now when I'm going to do a record, I have to go, hey, so there's a chance that I could get pulled out of here, in which case I'll do my very best to not totally screw you over. So I haven't run into anything yet where they're like, "Nah, we'll find someone else to screw that."
Right.
Everyone's been really nice about it. So it's good problems, but it is like your time is not your own.
Yeah. No, I get it. There's always a hitch. Yeah.
Yes.
But see, that's the thing. You're obviously like good people. You like all that. So there you go. There's your balance.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah.
I love being home. I love being out here, but I love being home, and I miss Allie and
right.
all of it. You know, touring even at if you're McCartney, you're still away from home.
Yeah.
You know, so that exists for me, and I think it exists for a lot of us out here. But we have our tour family, and we have our jokes, and we. You know, we watch comedy, and like that first tour, we watched Westworld. I don't know if you watched that sci-fi thing, Westworld, but there was a moment that just like the utmost camaraderie moment. We were watching Westworld on the bus, and there was a moment, I won't spoil it, but there's a moment that's very shocking. and literally we just paused the thing and stood up and high-fived each other because we were just enjoying the show so much, enjoying each other's company so much. And I'd never, it was like being at summer camp, you know, it was like, we did it!
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of, like, last summer, for instance, was like, we did 5 weeks, it was middle of COVID, we were able to pull off 5 weeks successfully, which was a miracle. But they scaled down the tour a bit. Pat didn't have his own bus, he was on the band bus with us. And without fail, every time we were at some nice hotel like this, like, we had like Four Seasons. And we all had individual rooms, and we had seen nothing but each other in the bus for a week. And we were just down on the bus watching TV again together instead of being in our own space. It was just like, it's so fun.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And to realize you have a finite amount of time to do this, and it's not forever. It's just, you just make the most of it.
Yeah.
You know? And then you go and make the most of being at home. And lean into that.
Yeah.
That's where I've found the best balance to be. It's just go hard on either account, and
right,
you'll get through it all.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, does Ali visit you? Is that?
She will, yeah. We have a good friend, Eliza, who from Grace's band, who now plays in the War on Drugs. She made a rule years ago that her and her husband, Andrew, never go more than 3 weeks.
That's the Brendan Buckley rule.
Is it? Does Brendan do that? That's smart. That's longevity. That's super wise. The three-week rule is something we've implemented.
Well, he's been married for like 30 years.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, he's actually 82.
People don't realize how good. I mean, I'm telling you,
he's the best looking 82-year-old.
It's the all meat Jordan Peterson diet. That's the Brendan Buckley.
Is he on all meat?
No, I made okay, that up. Okay. I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know what he's Ponce de Leon as far as I'm
concerned. Yeah.
I don't know what the hell he's.
He's the man.
That son of a bitch. How'd you do that?
I don't like the guy, honestly.
Brendan Buckley is known to be mean and cruel
Not a great player.
Diva-esque.
Yep.
That's the hidden secret in the drum world, right?
Nicest guy ever.
So, I get it, though, man. You have a good thing going as far as, like, the vibe, and I get that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. There's a good friendship there and understanding, and that's when the gig gets easier, is when you're joking on stage and you're, I don't know, we all have talkback mics, and like last summer specifically, Pat was just like joking a lot into the mic, and like it's usually only used for, in theory, it's only emergencies, but you know, he was just like, we were quoting, I think you should leave that Netflix show a lot last summer, and I don't know, it was just jokes all the time.
Right.
It's loose, but like if you're dropping the ball, it gets serious.
Mm-hmm.
When we inevitably screw up, we're all accountable, and what happened there, you know? There's a definite work hard, play hard vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you feel like now you've got it?
No, I feel like I'm still auditioning.
You do?
3 years later.
No, I'm serious.
No, I get nerved up before the gig because everyone's so serious. And then it's 90 minutes of dead serious, but loose at the same time. But mostly dead serious, worrying about the job. And then you can be loose after that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no drinking, like no one drinks before the show.
Right.
It's not every tour, you know. That's not a thing that happens all the time.
Right.
Just to rule one thing out of like, okay, well, if something goes wrong, we know it's not alcohol. You know, we know it's not substance, whatever it is. It's something else. It's something technical. It's something we forgot. You know, we can rule that thing out.
Now, do you think, is it the kind of situation, do you think your ass would get canned if they could smell some booze on your breath? Do you think it's that level?
It would certainly be a conversation if it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little mafia like. It's like no drugs. Like it's a little bit like
don't be too like do the job. And the job.
Yeah. These are the rules.
The show day.
Yeah.
It's like you get to work.
Right.
For flying day of show, no drinking on the plane.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
You're studying up. Yeah.
I get it. No, that's interesting. You're right. You don't hear a lot about this, like, as far as...
It's not militant. It's definitely not militant, but you know if you drop the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, rules are rules. If that's what they lay down, then...
And it's not really a rule. It's more of an understanding.
Right.
I think I had I had a glass of wine before a gig once, and I got the, huh, okay. And I was like, oh, okay, got it.
Because they said something.
No, it was more of like a,
Oh, just a little bit of a judgy,
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you got there, Matt.
You're awfully comfortable.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Yeah.
Totally. So, There's an understanding.
Can I get you a cigar with that? Can I get you, you know, like a,
You're comfy.
How about a one hitter while you're at it?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe you'd like some
weed. What can I get for you, sir?
Maybe you'd like some mushrooms tonight, you know, while you're at it.
No. So it's serious, but the other 23 hours a day are very not serious.
I understand.
Really fun.
Yeah, it sounds like a good deal, man.
Mm-hmm.
So as a friend, I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
In that sense. As a fellow, I'm a very extreme. No, I'm kidding. Had to. Now wait a minute. So, you did a record. You're saying with.
We wrote and recorded. Yeah, an album. Butch Walker produced it. It's called AM Gold, and that's what we're on tour with right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you went to Seattle and to do the.
We started in Seattle and have gotten back to in person writing, but we started pre-COVID. We did everything, I like to say, we did everything wrong on the lead up to COVID. So it was like January, February, we were, of 2020, we were like playing private shows in San Francisco, Vail, Colorado. We did Mardi Gras for like what seemed like a billion people. And this was like getting toward COVID. We did the train cruise, which happens in February, every other February. So, which must have been just a petri dish. And myself, Jerry, and Pat ended up in Seattle writing on a writing session. That was March 12th.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie called me and she was like, hey, so the National Guard's coming to Seattle.
Right.
Maybe you guys should come home.
And right.
Pat was like, oh, yeah, maybe you should.
So
it was quite a run there leading up.
Hey, man, I was in Spain end of February into...
How'd you get back? Was it hard?
No, I landed March 1st in New York City, and it was during that time where they were still in New York. I'll say it. All the people in charge were like, everything's fine.
Yeah.
Everything's fine.
As you were.
Go down to Chinatown. Enjoy. Like, it was totally that. And in Spain, they were just... I felt like Indiana Jones with the boulder. It was like everywhere I... It was right behind. So I left Spain, and then right away, shut down. And left New York, shut down, went to L.A. And,
oh.
Yeah. Wow. Anyway, we don't do that on this show, by the way. See, there's things we don't talk about.
Yeah.
This is one of them. Like, the thing. We'll call it the thing.
The thing happened.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You understand. The thing happened,
so,
and that's it. Yeah.
So we ended up writing and getting really good at an at-home workflow.
Right. You had to do that.
Trading files, different workarounds, because I'm on Ableton, and Jerry's on Pro Tools, and Pat's on Logic.
Right.
And so you're just making all these things talk to each other in a usable way. And we got really fast and good at that and have continued to do that even in person. We'll just have our different workstations in the room and we can take out the Zoom element, but it's still essentially the same thing. I'm throwing files to Jerry with a four-click slate on top because these DAWs don't play nice with each other, so he can line it up.
Right.
And it's just a whole thing. But it works. It works for us, and it's an evolved way of doing the thing. So
So do you don't feel like a member yet, even though all that's how, or you do?
Well, there's no members. I mean, it has the appearance and feel of a band, but it's Pat Monahan.
Yeah,
yeah, and he's brilliant and has earned that title.
Yeah. Okay.
And I also love, like, I feel like on this very podcast, I heard Sean Hurley talk about. Really, really brilliantly about basically his love letter to like sideman work. And I love how he thinks about it in that way. I think I love being produced and I love being told what to play within reason, you know?
Yeah.
Not micromanaged, but like, hey, we hired you to do your thing within these boundaries.
Yeah.
Do your thing within these boundaries.
Yes.
I love that.
Yes.
And I think Sean's take on it is where I like to operate from too, which is like, okay, this is train. This is a 30-year history of great songs, a ton of which are hits, and they get to do this. Like, even if we're having the worst show in the world, we still get to play Soul Sister, Drive By, Drops of Jupiter, Meet Virginia, Calling All Angels. You know, like, it's the list goes on and on. We can rely on that.
Right.
However, I can operate within those constructs of the songs and do my thing, and it's a really good fit for me, I think. Well, I'm feeling really comfortable on the gig now.
Not
comfortable enough to drink wine before the show.
Apparently you can't.
But certainly comfortable enough to play the drums in a way that I think is serving the song and really fun and fulfilling.
That's great, man. I think that's the ideal scenario.
Meaning I have 13 toms and 5 kick drums. And
why wouldn't you? Bozio.
I'm a song guy. I'm a song guy.
I play for the song. I need 5 kick drums. I need a kick drum for each side. 18, 20, 22.
My kit has actually, I inherited Drew's rig, and it has shrunk considerably.
You inherited his rig?
Well, I you know, the setup and the stage block had 2 floor toms, a bunch more cymbals than I needed. And it, over time, it has just gotten smaller and more to the point.
Right.
And I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Like on this tour, I'm just doing 4-piece, a vintage Ludwig kit, which is fun to play on tour. 70s, and a couple snare drum switches, a couple cymbals, and it's pretty simple. Minus the electronics. The electronics gets scary for me.
Yeah.
So I'm glad I don't have to deal with it.
But yeah, yeah.
I know that there's a pad on my left that I hit for certain songs, and that's...
Right.
That's what I... That's about as far as I know what's happening.
Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. That's I like drums.
Yeah.
Stick to drums.
I understand. So, but you've got an opportunity, you're saying, to do other stuff.
Well, yeah.
Like other recordings and other...
Yeah, I've always tried.
And other gigs right around town.
Yeah, certain things, yeah.
In LA, yeah?
Yeah, I actually, since we've probably last spoken, I've played this gig here and there, just whenever people are in town with several. I've hit that alumni. There's a gig we call Valley Famous with...
Oh, Babco. I was there. I went.
Button. Oh, yes. That's right.
I didn't see it with Button, but go ahead.
John Button and Drew Toppenfeld.
I saw the gig. I saw you with Babs and Toppenfeld.
Yeah.
At
Fox and Hounds.
Fox and Hounds.
Studio City.
And who was in the audience that night? Do you remember?
Bella Rose.
You
don't forget that.
And I said to you, how does it feel to have Jay Bella Rose sitting here watching you all night? Yeah. He's shaking his head just like
that. What do you think it feels like? It feels terrible. I want to throw up.
Yeah. Because you can't even hide. It's not even like spotlights are in your face and you can't see. No, you see.
Oh, no, you see. There's no movie magic at Fox and Hounds.
No.
It's like, well, I was also like, I remember that because I was like kind of doing the Bella Rose thing, like my like half, you know, the discount version of the Bella Rose thing.
Right.
I was like, yes. I remember feeling like I'm doing it. I was like feeling good. I think it sounds great. I'm doing the Bella Rose thing. And then he walks in and I'm like, I'll do it normal. I'll just do the regular thing. Sorry. I'm sorry I ever even thought to do that.
Have you talked to him though?
A little bit. Yeah. We text a little bit. I linked up with him in Cincinnati because my in-laws are in Cincinnati. We went to he plays with this really cool band during the holidays called, Over the Rhine. Over the Rhine, which is a neighborhood in Cincinnati and a local Cincinnati band. They do a holiday show at a really cool, like, 200-300 person theater downtown. And it's special. He plays, that's the perfect place to see Bella Rose because he plays the room.
Right.
You know, and he plays the room beautifully. And it's a bright, shimmery, like, not forgiving room. And he makes it sound great.
Right.
Yeah.
Is he an Ohio guy?
I don't know where he's from.
He's just connected to that thing there.
I feel like he's from Mars, maybe.
Yeah, that's...
He could be a Mars guy.
Yeah, he's...
Total alien.
Interesting guy, for sure, man. We had talked years ago, about doing this. He was like, oh, yeah. He's like, you did the Hal Blaine interview. Like,
yes. You know, yes. But, yeah, you did.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you did.
Yes, I did. But, yeah, that was then. This is now. Now I'm doing Matt Musty.
Yeah. How far you've dropped.
I mean, where do you go from there?
I think it's down.
That's why people say, you got to get Vinny, man. Do I? Where do you know?
You do have to get Vinny.
I would love to get Vinny. But then I also would want to, like, kind of poke the bear, and it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
You know? Like, because Vinny's Vinny, man. But I would love to let Vinny go.
I've never met Vinny.
No. I've never met Vinny. Sleeveless. Maybe we'll get
Sleeveless
Vinny.
Glasses, sushi eater.
Right. Which Vinny would I get?
Yeah. Smoker.
Right, is he? Currently so. Smoker?
I've just heard stories. I don't know the guy.
Vinny, I'll smoke with you if you're listening.
I will start smoking.
Totally, dude.
I'll start smoking right now if it gets Vinny to hang with us.
Goddamn right, man. Pack of Marlboros for my man, Matt Musty.
What about Gad? Gonna get Gad?
Gad is another guy. Like, man. I guess you gotta get through the wife, I guess.
Yeah, oh, really?
I don't know.
Is he like a not, I don't have a phone guy?
Yeah, I don't know how that works with Steve Gadd. Like some of these guys, you know, like they're just sort of, you can't get to them.
You got Keltner, though.
I got Keltner because of Aaron Sterling.
Yeah.
That's it. Hence the bust of Aaron Sterling in Pro Drum. Haven't brought up in a long time, by the way.
So. Come on. I see that thing in there.
Go visit Pro Drum and visit the bust of Aaron Sterling. That's what, it was supposed to be a statue. I said I'll build you a statue, if you get me Jim Keltner. And then because Jim Keltner insisted it only be a phoner,
yeah.
Then I said to Aaron, how about a bust?
Since it wasn't Aaron being the nice guy that he is, said, I'll settle for the bust.
No, Aaron thought I was joking the entire time. I think he couldn't believe I actually had the bust made.
I want those things to go on sale because everyone needs one in their house.
That's a very good point. It looks
he's another great.
It kind of looks like Abe Lincoln. That particular bust. Yeah. Yeah.
He's awesome. He's in Nashville now. He's doing his thing. All of us in LA were like, oh, he's moving to Nashville. We're going to get all this work now.
Right.
And he just took the work with him. He's always done it from home. But we're dumb. We didn't think that would happen.
That's true. And Drizzo stayed. So don't count your.
I was just talking to Victor today. He said to say hi.
Oh, right on, man.
Yes. I've been leaving different drummers. Pairs of drumsticks hidden in these venues that were all on the same schedule, seeing these same sheds.
And you say, go look here, that kind of thing?
And so I'm leaving a pair at Shoreline for him in San Francisco.
Nice.
Have you gotten Dax on the show?
Yeah, Dax was on the show.
I just left a pair for him in Chicago.
Oh, yeah, Dax was on. Yeah. That was in New York, I remember. He was here recently. We couldn't make it happen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I forget. They have day off or something.
They're out with Rod Stewart, I think. Cheap Trick and Rod Stewart.
Those sons of bitches, man. Talk about road dogs.
Yeah, talk about an amazing night of music.
Yes.
Like those two bands.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Yes. Rod.
Rod.
By the way, I saw him at Hollywood Bowl. That was a long story, free ticket. But the point is, his mic was still on during, like, between songs. And the lights went down, and we could hear him.
The headset mic?
The headset mic in the Hollywood Bowl, and you just heard, my trousers! My trousers!
That's such a perfect
The whole place gets to hear it. My trousers! Who the hell? Wardrobe malfunction.
I just saw Batco at the Hollywood Bowl with Steve Martin and Martin Short.
Oh, you were there for that?
Holy cow, was that a funny show.
With Sutter and Kevin Stevens?
Yes. They were there. We had a hang after. It was really fun.
Yeah.
And Martin Short showed up, too, so we get to meet him real quick.
I once went to a Batco thing that with Dan Ziger.
Mm-hmm.
And... there's a few other people there.
That's scary.
But Martin Short came out, and I remember I was there in a
Lyle was there this time, too.
I was there in a t-shirt, or Lyle Workman, another alumni.
Yeah.
I was in a t-shirt, and he was just like the dirty, hairy eyeball. Like, he was like, because he had brought up a guy on stage to do a bit, like from the audience.
Yeah.
And he said, and the guy was like in shorts and a t-shirt, and he goes, this is what you wear to the theater? What do you wear to go bowling? Like, he did this whole bit about the guy's clothes. Sees me in like in a t-shirt, and he was just like,
It's so funny how they're so funny, just normal. They're not off when they're off stage.
No.
They're just on all the time.
There's no off switch.
Yeah. But Victor, you got the Victor look going today.
With the white t-shirt? Yeah. This is my Victor and Drizzo signature series.
Yeah.
T-shirt.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's good for the heat.
Yeah.
You know, I tend to go with the black, but it pulls it right in. We're in Austin, Texas, as we said. It's about 103 today, I think.
Something like that.
But you were telling me you played in St. Louis. It was about 98 on stage.
A couple nights ago, St. Louis was the hottest one we've had for sure on this run.
And you're saying, like, with the fans, it's really just hot air?
It's hot air.
Yeah.
It's hot air. We have, like... The slight luxury of playing as the sun's going down, so it's definitely not as bad as the 7 o'clock set, but boy, it's still rough. It's still rough out there.
Yeah. No, you're gonna feel it tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah. This doesn't
clear I'm here for it. It's summer tour. And the drums sound nice in this weather.
Yeah, what's up with that?
They just sound, I don't know, they settle in a little nicer and they're just vibrating more, I guess. I don't know what's happening, but yeah, it's, the kit definitely sounds nicer on the warmer nights, so I'll take that sacrifice.
What is it? You said 70s Ludwig?
70s Ludwig.
Is it yours?
Yeah. Yeah, I bought it on eBay and had it refinished because it's AM Gold Tour, so everything's gold on stage, so I had it rewrapped.
Oh.
The piano's wrapped in a...
Is it gold sparkle?
It's gold sparkle.
Woo!
Yeah. So we'll never be able to use it again after this tour.
That was my first vintage Ludwig kit. I sold that. Yeah.
Really?
2012-14. Yeah. You know.
I had a Gretsch that I loved in Nashville that was a Rosewood, the like 80s Jasper stop signs.
Oh.
The deep toms. Too. Oh. Like really, really kind of ugly. But boy, did that kit sound amazing.
And you sold it.
I sold it because I moved to L.A. and I couldn't fit anything else in the car.
Oh, right.
I just was like, you know, I'm not going to... Yeah. I didn't have any money. Still don't have any money.
You can't be precious. You can't...
No.
You got to let go of gear, right?
Yeah.
You know, I've thought of this. Do you know any... Like the Charlie Watts thing, the guy, you know, like he had that same kit, right? Like years and years,
was
that kind
same?
Of thing?
Yeah.
Oh, on the tour kit. Can we name another drummer who does that? I mean, I guess Bellarose, I don't know. Does he use the same Rolling Bombers? I mean...
I don't know. It'd be great. It'd be great.
Does any drummer that you can think of do that? Like, use the same... comment below, folks, kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Who does that?
Well, Aaron is the closest I've seen to, like, not being affiliated.
Yes.
And not caring. And just going, like, I play what I want.
That's true.
And I think we should all be that.
He brought the Yamahas out, like the Mike Borden Yamaha kit.
Yes. Which, speaking of the Stones, two things. There's a Train song called Save Me San Francisco, and the night that Charlie died, I started playing it like Charlie.
Oh, the lift up.
Lift up for the snare.
Yeah.
And I haven't stopped, and like one person has noticed, like maybe two people have noticed, and one of them's like the guitarist did Train.
Yeah.
Like Taylor looked over and goes, Charlie!
Yeah. You gotta lift up.
Yeah.
No, you have to lift up.
On that song, too, it's very, like, reminiscent of Stones, and it's the one to do it on, so I haven't stopped playing it like that for old Charlie.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, have you seen Steve Jordan's setup with the Stones? Nothing on his left, four cymbals on his right.
Yes.
Just because he's Steve Jordan and he can do that kind of shit.
I fucking love it. And I love that he gets away with. Like, he's a Yamaha guy. And for years, you see, and he's there with the Rogers and this.
Yeah.
And they're just
Brady,
like, okay,
whole thing.
We won't say anything.
Yeah.
You get away with it. And then now he's playing Gretsch, and it's like...
He's just doing Charlie. You know?
But I'm saying he's still, I guess, technically still with Yamaha.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he's still up on the website, you know,
totally.
As a Yamaha guy.
Totally.
But it's so funny. And one of those cymbals, I watched a rig run down like a nerd the other day.
Totally.
What is up with this kid? And one of the cymbals is a Pang, like an old U-Fib whatever.
Yeah.
That Charlie used. It was Charlie's
one
that he used on tour. Because they don't, what's the coolest thing? They don't want it in a museum. This timeless piece of gear that belonged to Charlie Watts is still being used on tour. That's so cool. And Steve put it in a cool way. He's like, so Charlie's never too far away.
I love it. I love that that Charlie used UFIP.
UFIP.
I love that.
He's another one who just, I don't care. Here, if it sounds
those
good.
Those Italian cymbals. I mean,
totally.
Why not, man?
That's the way. I think Aaron's tapping into something with the gear, the gear non-loyalty.
No, I think it is important. I agree with you. Like, what's so what? Well, whatever. Guys want their backline, and guys want their. I get it. I mean, I get both sides. You get free shit. Yeah.
I mean, Pat put it in a cool way too. Like, there's just different like little things here and there with guitar companies, drum companies, whatever. And he goes, you know, play what you guys want. Play what you want. Make enough money. Play what you want. Don't worry about it. And we'll figure out the backline stuff.
Right.
And that I think is real cool.
Well, what would be the alternative? I mean, would it really be a situation where he's going to tell you play?
No, he just wants, he's a very like competitive type of dude. And he, if something goes a little wonky with a company, he's like, well, fuck that.
Okay. I got you.
You know,
I got you.
He's very like on our side in the like non disputes, but the kind of disputes that go on.
Wait, are you with Ludwig?
I'm a Ludwig guy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But yeah. you just chose to go with Vintage.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this Ludwig's good to me. This year we needed a vintage kit for it's a throwback record, so everything's kind of vintagey on stage. Right. And I was like, well, why don't I just do the blue and olive thing?
Right.
I think it's fun.
Right.
You know, and they sound great.
So did they rewrap it?
No, I sent it to Nashville, my friend okay. Andy Foote from okay. Supply yeah, House yeah. in Nashville.
Foote.
Foote, Andy Foote. And then he also did, we're playing a cocktail kit on stage.
Oh, right, segment. Right.
And he wrapped that and made it out of his, like, custom shells, the Hello Drum Company. It's really, really kind of a cool little setup
cool.
we got.
That is very cool.
A little tiny 8-inch right. snare drum, 8, 10, 16 by 24. You know, just super deep upright kick drum. Tried to get the, like, Steve Jordan dimensions, but
right.
he didn't have a 15.
Right, the cigar box.
Yeah, yeah. And he put little, like, Andy's cool because his little touches are cool on the kit. He put little silver crown logos on each drum, like the train crown.
Oh, cool.
And he was really cool. His, like, attention to detail was really, really fun to see. The show looks great. All the gear is cool.
So Pat gets to keep the kit after
yeah.
Because it's got the train logo, right?
That's his kit.
These are mine.
Those are his.
Yeah. Sue your ass.
Yeah. Well, part of me wanted to do, like, the big Steve Jordan kit with the little kit on the left, you know?
Right.
That would be cool.
That's what I meant. The cigar...
Yes.
Cigar sort of, tube, whatever that's called.
Yeah, and it's upright in a like, traditional cocktail setup right now. Right. But I'd love to turn it on its side and see what it's doing with the pedal on that thing.
Yes, yeah. Yes. I like this idea. So you were saying before, we were talking about, you see yourself in L.A.?
I like L.A. Yeah, L.A.'s been home for the last 6 years. I bounced around. I was in Nashville before that, New York before that, and it's definitely been the closest fit for me. There's a part of me as I get older that's like, maybe Allie and I go kick it on a lake later in life.
Right.
And get out of town.
Right.
And get out of the fires, get out of the heat. You know, maybe there's a place that will exist that's livable in that way.
Right.
And,
But for now,
it's L.A., though.
And it doesn't matter, like you said, because with the train situation, all the guys are spread out.
Yeah.
That doesn't change it for you either. You're still, like, work-wise, prefer to be in town.
There's definitely an ego part of me that really needs to be in town. Allie's cool. My wife, Allie, she's cool because she has very little of that. And she's like, yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah.
I'm happy with you. I'm happy with our life together. We can be anywhere.
Did you make it official?
We got married in December. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
I wasn't aware of that.
I
guess the invite got lost in the mail.
My parents weren't even at the wedding. We just did a chill thing in Cincinnati, and then I went home to hang out with them. We went.
Jay Bella Rose presided.
Yes. Yeah. Right. He married us, of course.
Well,
very quietly and subtly.
You'd smoke for Vinny and get married for Jay Bella. I mean, of course. This is the rules, my friend.
But yeah, she doesn't have any of that ego where it's like, okay, we got to be in town. I got to be relevant.
Right.
I'm the one with that who holds on to that and goes, well, you know, records are made here. Music is happening here. Right. I don't want to get too comfortable. I don't want to get too comfortable in my gig and just kind of resign to that. I just want to be hungry all the time. And I still am. I'm very much like, I want to be involved. I want to be on the east side in L.A. making music. I want to be playing Fox and Hounds with Babco.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What?
So,
of course.
I like that. I definitely like that.
Yeah.
So hopefully maybe someday I'll be healthy enough to be like, oh, good.
Well, you did the Nashville thing.
Yeah.
But you're in a different place now. Could you see yourself doing the Nashville thing?
Sure. I like Nashville. I like Nashville great. I made a lot of good friends there. I just went back. We had like an off day there. We went to Roberts like a bunch of idiots and I saw like 5 people I knew that night. And also Amos Lee was in town. My friend Ryan played for him. So we went to Amos Lee at the Ryman. It was beautiful. And like throw a stone down Broadway in Nashville and find 5 people you know on any given night. It's a good town. That's a good town for me.
Yeah.
So I never rule it out. I would move back to Nashville if it made sense.
Mm-hmm. And you did New York.
I did New York. I probably wouldn't move back to New York.
Right.
Yeah. I did New York when I was really young, dumb.
Yeah.
Probably did everything wrong, learned a lot, so I'm super grateful for it. Love visiting, but probably would never.
Yeah.
I don't go back there and go, boy, I wish I still lived.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I go back and go, oh, this is nice. I know the lay of the land. And it's cool to be in town for 2 days. And then when I leave, I'm like, see you later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's different. It is different energy.
Yeah.
And you get older. And,
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it to visit.
Yep. No, I hear you, man. I hear you. So what's the you have like 3 more weeks, you were saying?
Yeah, something like that. I think there's 14 more shows, and then a schedule of privates through the fall.
Oh, okay. So that doesn't stop. You still
no, with the like proper tour. We're out right now with Blues Traveler and Jewel and then Train. And opening the show is this young guy, Thunderstorm Artis, who was on The Voice, and he's an amazing singer. So that's the tour. That's the AM Gold tour package,
right,
with all the bells and whistles and like the big shows. The rest of the, you know, the private gig season is less glamorous, but really fun also.
Well, it's glamorous in its own way.
Yeah. I mean, it ranges, you know. Some of it's in like Marriott ballrooms.
Yeah.
House of Blues in Orlando,
right,
that kind of place. And then other times, like the other day, we did one at the new Vegas Raiders Stadium in Vegas. It's like super futuristic
stadium
and brand for like 5,000 people. A very empty stadium.
Interesting.
Some big company. Like, you know, some insurance company,
right,
or something.
Right.
It's the weirdest thing ever, but sometimes they're really cool and be like, wow, we're doing a stadium tonight.
Now, does your pay, let's get into that for a minute. Does your pay change?
No.
For, no.
No. Hired.
Like no matter said, what the private gig is,
it
wouldn't change.
No.
Okay. You know your rate, and that's the rate you're going to get. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, we're just talking here.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Dozens
of
dollars.
The kids need to hear this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, Abe Laboriel gets $1 million bonus around Christmas, I think.
Come on.
That's what I've heard.
You can't say that.
You can't say that?
I don't know.
No, I know. I know what you mean. It's like, but like, I don't know him. He's not going to, like, what is he going to come after me?
Has he done it?
No. But he.
You definitely know him through, not through me. I don't know.
No. We could get to Abe. It's just a question of, like, I remember years ago when this show's been around 10 years. I think early on, it's like Twitter, someone tweeted, you're going to get Abe. And he wrote, like, never been asked. And I was like, well, let's
come on.
And he was like, yeah, sure. And then it just dropped. Like,
you should go through Babco or someone.
It does happen where guys, it's like we're in contact and then they drop out. Probably because they listen to a few and they're like, no.
Wow.
No.
Come on.
No, I don't know. Who knows what the reasons are?
This is the real podcast, man. This is the one where you get into stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but yeah, we'll see. This way there's room for more. Like we said, Vinny, Gad, Abe, et cetera, et cetera.
I saw Abe with Paul.
I need Babco Part 8 and, you know.
And Sterling Part 15.
Sterling Part 15. But although he just taken a break.
Oh, yeah?
Well, he was here. He was in town recently with Mayor.
Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah, he didn't really want to do it.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. We're cool. But, you know, he's just, you know, he's better at Instagram. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's good at that.
Yeah.
Like,
it's funny.
That's a talent.
Yeah. Like, I don't have that.
No, fuck no. Well, I'm a great follow on Instagram, by the way. So, all right. So, yeah, 3 weeks, 14 more shows. The private gigs, and then you're just in town. You're like doing more.
And then I'm in town. I try to be working and recording whenever I can in town. And since the record, I've just kind of, and this is a testament to Pat, going, hey, you can do stuff. You're capable. You're more than just a drummer. It's been fun to produce certain things and write and co-write and put things together in a more of a zoomed out fashion instead of just the drumming.
Yeah, man. Producer, I like this.
Well, I mean, I get annoyed with everyone in LA calling themselves producer because they have a laptop, but I have a laptop,
right,
and I'm a producer.
Right.
No, but it's really good. It's really fun to put together a bunch of music, and I don't know, I think ultimately it makes you a better drummer because you know you have a much more intimate relationship with what you're delivering to a microphone and to a song. So I think zooming out is really important because we get so into bearing edges and what kind of wood and drum heads and all the variables, and just play something that works great for the song.
Yeah, man.
Like I said, 13 toms, Six kick drums.
Yes.
Several China cymbals.
Yes. Splash.
Splash.
A swish. Why not?
Yeah. So just playing for the song. Musical. Just musical. Mean Potatoes.
Yes. Yes. I love it. I love it. Terry Bozzio, Musty.
Right.
I love it. Hey, man. I appreciate you having me over to the...
I really appreciate you coming all the way
to
over.
To the motel today.
Yes. The motel. That's right. The Motel 7. It's one better.
I didn't want to say anything. It's a little shoddy, but whatever. You're happy on the gig.
Yeah,
you know?
That's right.
They could treat you a little better, you know?
Yeah, I have to pay for it. No,
we're garnishing your wages. Yeah. I hope you get to enjoy some of the beautiful day. I know you got a day off.
I know, yeah. I will figure it out.
Have some barbecue, have some tacos.
That's right. We're right here. We're like near 6th Street, right?
Dirty 6th. Yeah.
Isn't there something on around here? Stubbs or something?
Yeah, there's something. You know, yeah. I'm not really...
Yeah.
I'm not a 6th guy. But yeah, I know. You'll be all right. Yeah,
look at you. You're a local already.
I'm a local, yeah.
Thank you for... I don't know. It makes my heart very warm to see you after all these years.
It's great to see you again. Yeah, it's been a while. Like I said, I didn't even know you were married. Congratulations. Man. Say hi to Ali for me.
I will. And, I will.
Yeah, man. I mean, just kick ass on the rest of this.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, man. We'll
hope to see you again soon.
We'll do this again.
Right on.
Thank you, Matt Mustin.
Thank you, Dave.
Good stuff, man.
Fun, right?